You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
It is time for our weekly visit with one of the great minds and courageous hearts in America today, especially when it comes to the defense of freedom. She is Diana West, a longtime syndicated columnist, now a blogger. In fact, I was pleased to see that 2 years ago, I guess it was, the Newsmax organization recognized DianaWest.net as one of the 50 best conservative blogs in that year. She is the author of two extraordinarily important books, American Betrayal, The Secret Assault on Our Nation's Character, and The Death of the Grown-Up, How America's Arrested Development is Bringing Down Western Civilization. Diana, welcome back. It is so good to have you, as always.
Oh, thank you. Wonderful to be with you.
I want to start with something that is a topic you have been following closely, I know, for a long time, as part of your work on the phenomenon of Sharia supremacism. You were one of the co-authors of a book entitled Sharia, The Threat to America, that we had a hand in putting together. Talk, if you would, Diana, about this emerging phenomenon, at least its revelation is emerging, if not the phenomenon itself, that I discussed a moment ago with Claire Lopez, namely female genital mutilation in the United States.
Well, it's a barbaric abomination that we find coming out of the Islamic world, sanctioned in the Islamic world, and now with an Islamic demographic becoming more settled here and becoming more culturally confident here, we're finding it in our own medical system, in our own hospitals. This is inevitable with Islamic immigration. This is a problem throughout the Western world. I think when we talk about the issue, we should remember the late David Litman, husband of the great historian Bat Yor, who would bring this barbaric practice up as an NGO at the United Nations in Geneva. And he did battle royale on this subject, fighting off the Islamic representatives on the council he would be addressing. So this is something that's been going on a long time. This was essentially an issue that Hirsi Ali, when she was a Dutch activist and then parliamentarian, also was trying to bring to public attention in the Netherlands as it was taking hold. Having been subjected to it herself, this is a very widespread practice, and it's something that people have turned a blind eye to. And in fact, we see the way the New York Times even covers the story without using the clinical term female genital mutilation. They prefer to use the euphemism of cutting, which, you know, could be something anodyne or something less invasive and barbaric.
This is, as Claire Lopez has said, Diana, an abomination. You've made that point too. And unfortunately, I'm afraid it's becoming more widespread in our own country. We have only just begun to uncover it, and we will be, I'm sure, learning more about this. As you've put it, this culturally confident Islamist population here is simply echoing and emulating what we're seeing in places like Europe. And I wanted to turn to something you wrote about at your blog, DianaWest.net, recently. Introduce us to a gentleman by the name of Franz Timmermann and his musings on diversity and how that ties into the problem we've just been discussing.
Franz Timmermann is the number two man in the European Commission, which is the unelected Politburo, essentially, which is how Vladimir Bukovsky describes the European Commission, that rules much in the lives of the 500 million people who live in Europe. And he is a man who has made enforcing what he calls diversity his mission in life. And this particular essay looks at this incessant just laying down of law, being Europe will be diverse. We must not refuse diversity. We must embrace diversity. That I actually wrote because he tweeted on the day of the, and this was before, the jihadist struck on the Champs-Élysées in Paris. He tweeted out a message that the future of the world is diversity. Again, to fight diversity is like trying to unscramble scrambled eggs. It makes a mess. Let's embrace diversity. Well, my first thought, of course, was going back to Walter Duranty's apologetic cover-up of the Ukraine terror famine for the New York Times, and for which he won a Pulitzer, where he talked about not being able to make an omelet without breaking eggs. This was his rationale for breaking a few eggs for the forced starvation of millions of people by Stalin. That kind of language is very reminiscent of this kind of cover-up of the strategy to essentially create a one-world government. In the old days, we would certainly look to Moscow. And I'm just wondering, again, if we shouldn't be looking to Moscow, even as it has changed so much. So this essay kind of muses about this in terms of who benefits from the Islamization and destruction of European culture? Who benefits from the eradication of nation states? Diversity is a code word for that. It might as well be you could replace it with any other totalitarian term.
Let's ask quickly about France. There's an election. First stage is behind them. The second stage is coming up on the 7th of May. What do you make of the emerging candidates and their respective views on these questions of diversity and accommodating, the increasingly culturally confident Islamists among them?
Yes, well, this is the historic moment where France will either turn to Marine Le Pen and reclaim itself as a French nation, or it will go with Macron and become a feature of the European Union, ever more subsumed into the global collective, and ever more subject to the incursions of what Franz Timmermans will call diversity, but is essentially a demographic tsunami of mainly Islamic peoples, mainly men, as we've seen, coming out of Africa and the Near East. This is being played by American politicians, American pundits on the right, coming out against Marine Le Pen and essentially throwing their support to Macron. And in France, we see across the spectrum, left to right, this same locking of arms against Marine Le Pen, the populist, the nationalist.
Yeah. Diana, let me very quickly ask you to put this into the larger context of the death throes of Western civilization, at least in Europe. You quote David Brooks. Talk a little bit about how this ties in with some of your own thinking about the death of the grown-up, for example.
Yes, well, I think that this has a lot to do with the these are death throes, as you say. I think Marine Le Pen's chances are considered difficult to overcome the establishment. And I think that there is complete ignorance as to how we came to this pass. And I was discussing David Brooks and Andrew Mikta's recent essays, wondering how it could be that the West is no more. And while we may have different ideas of what the West is, the sense of not understanding that we've been subject to essentially a century of organized and weaponized Marxism-Leninism aimed at destroying our foundation, from academia to government to everything else, to the church, etc., shows the total success, really, of this ideology in transforming us without us even understanding what has happened.
This is a subject for a much longer conversation. Diana West, thank you for having this one with us, and we look forward to the next in the very near future. Next up, we'll talk with Douglas Feith, straight ahead.